Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, we're going to talk NBA and the Mavs news of the day here with you with George Sedano in just a moment. We are standing by for news in the Cowboys coaching search. It's been another day of talking Brian Schottenheimer with you as he is currently in the second day of interviewing with the Cowboys. And we're anticipating the story could break at any time. Okay, so stay tuned. On social, most of the chatter, most of the reports are talking about it as if it's already a done deal. Everybody expects Schottenheimer to be the head coach. And they're reacting to it. Not a lot of positivity. I mean, we just did an exercise last hour. All we can do is try to think outside the box, look at glass half full type of stuff. Maybe after 14 years as an offensive coordinator and doing other roles with NFL teams, he could be ready to take the next step.
Sure.
You know, some guys flop as a head coach. Sometimes as the head coach, it makes the best out of you. So we can hope for that. Well-liked guy.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is the, you know, both sides of the ball really like this guy a lot. You know, he started out helping the defensive staff, and then, you know, the defensive players were all like, wow, okay, Shoddy, hey, you know, we get you, man.
Nice.
You know, really enthusiastic, and, you know, and I think that's where, you know, you got his the respect from the quarterback, the offensive players, but also those defensive guys.
The Cowboys like continuity. You
they
know?
Sure love their continuity.
They do and love that.
Keep it comfortable.
Yeah, you had a top five offense. You know, when he had good players in Seattle, that was the only stop where he had good players. Top 10 offense, made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and then things kind of fell apart late when Russell Wilson got hurt. Their offensive line had fallen apart, and everybody wanted to let Russ cook. And the more he passed, the less they won. So Schottenheimer, we believe, will try to make this a good running team again.
If he's half that of his dad, he'll be just fine. His dad was one of the most physical head coaches when you looked at his teams, the Kansas Cities, the Clevelands. Hopefully that's in his DNA. I know we always talk about that. You know, how do you help Dak? The ability to run the football. You've talked about that quite a bit.
So that's our big Cowboys story of the day. We'll be back into that with you here coming up in 15 minutes. ESPN's George Sedano joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan is Mavs and T-Wolves tonight there at the AAC. Thanks for joining us, George. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I will say this. The Brian Schottenheimer hire would be incredibly underwhelming. Just my two cents on that. And by the way, it wouldn't be the first time that he carried over from OC to head coach, or at least attempted to do that. It happened with the Jets when they fired Eric Mangini and they ended up hiring Rex Ryan, and he stayed on as the offensive coordinator again. But yeah, it he seems to always be kind of a default answer. If that's what you guys end up with, I don't know how I feel about
George,
that.
George, let me ask you, where were you then, circle back in the time machine, and where were you with the Dan Campbell hire?
With the Dan Campbell hire in Detroit?
Yeah, back in 2021.
Oh, listen, I didn't know. I will say this.
Because you're Miami, interim, right? You've been with him in Miami, right?
He was an interim coach there.
Yeah.
Yes, he was the interim coach there. And people liked him. Parcells obviously was very high on him back then and had been high on him for a long time. So I think there was plenty of people in that camp of like, he'll eventually make a good CEO-type head coach. Is he going to be someone that can be, you know, a schemer slash head coach, like a Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan eventually became, because we didn't know who those guys were, at least not to this extent now.
Sure.
Certainly not McVay. But I think they felt like he could be a good head coach and be kind of the CEO type. I didn't know very much about him other than just quick dealings with him that one season. But again, knowing that he had the Parcells stamp of approval, I think, like, I was like, well, look, if Bill thinks he's good, he's got to be at least pretty good.
Yeah. Now, George Sedano, most known as a national NBA reporter, but you got a lot of football chops, don't you? You do college football play-by-play, so we appreciate your perspective on this. I would like to follow up on, you know, what to you specifically would be underwhelming about looking forward to Schottenheimer taking over with the Cowboys.
I just think that he's just not one of these sexy candidates, right? Like, I get that. And honestly, he's had some rough patches as an offensive coordinator. So it's not like he's had this overwhelming success. I mean, you talked about the stuff with the Seahawks. And yeah, look, the Jets too. They got to the AFC Championship with the Jets. But I think that that team, if anything, if you look back at that particular stretch, he was just kind of having Sanchez kind of manage the game. Occasionally they would take some shots, but they were a run first team offensively. And, you know, they won on the backs of that defense that Rex Ryan built. So I just don't feel like his resume is someone that screams head coach. Certainly his dad was amazing, in my opinion. I know he didn't win the ultimate game, but he was a guy that, you know, everyone that I've spoken to that was working in the league or covered the league at that time, you know, raved about just dealing with him and what he was as a head coach. But, you know, Brian to me has never felt like a guy. I always thought he'd be a career coordinator. So I guess not surprising because he's already on staff, but again, just not someone that I've ever pegged or even people that I'm close to in league circles that ever pegged as a head coaching candidate.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, George. This is an all-time low depression here as a Cowboy fan. I'm grasping at straws to try and find some positivity.
Hell, I'd rather have Coach Prime.
I think everybody would. That'd get me excited. I think that would be a splash move. Now, we also had some sad news with our Mavericks here with the Derek Lively injury. And this was one where we first thought X-ray was negative. Now it's 2 to 3 months for Derek Lively. This is huge for our Mavericks. Can you give us some optimism at all here?
Yeah, it's huge. You may remember I came on this show, you know, when he was a rookie last year, and I said this guy's got something. Like he is someone that they really believe in. He's got leadership qualities beyond his years. And yeah, this hurts. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Look, Daniel Gafford is a good player, and I think that he can make this work in the short term. But yeah, now you're turning the calendar. We're in the middle of January. You're talking about a couple of months, like. Do I think he's going to be fine come playoff time? You'd hope so. And I hope that that's the case because I do think the Mavs are a better team on paper this year than they were last year. I know some may argue with that, but when they've been whole, which has not been much this season, they haven't been whole very much, they've been, I think, really good. I remember they went from like the 12 seed to like the 3 seed when they were whole. And then I was here on Christmas Day, unfortunately, when Luka went out, and it's been not so great, obviously, since then.
So you think
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They can still make the playoffs here. They got really 3 tough games in a row starting tonight that could very likely push them back to 500. Maybe 500 is all you need to at least be a play-in team in the West, though.
Yeah, I do think the West is so hard that 500, or at least in that realm, like if you can get into that kind of that low to mid 40s range, which I think they can, I think you should be in decent shape for one of those top 10 spots. But look, right now, if they can win some tough games, and I know there are tough games coming up, and if they can get some relative health, which they haven't really had in a long time, I think that they can be a dangerous team. And they're still, despite that right now, only a game and a half out of the fifth spot. So I think a lot of teams are dealing with a lot of stuff right now. And certain teams are separating themselves. Like, look at what the Nuggets are doing most recently, right? They've had an incredible stretch. I think it's 11 of 13 or whatnot. You know, everyone kind of rolled their eyes at Russell Westbrook going there. And Nikola Jokic, man, this is what the best players on the planet do. They make guys work. Everyone was discarding Russell Westbrook. But when you're one of the best players, I remember Shaq being this guy in his prime. LeBron certainly was one of these guys. You could give them guys that most people were discarding. And if they had any semblance of talent, they were going to make the best of it. And that's what you're seeing there. And I think that with Dallas, when, you know, I know Clay is struggling, right? Like, that's a perfect example. But now it's like Clay's got a lot on his plate because Kyrie's been in and out of the lineup. Obviously, Luka's out of the lineup. There's so many guys. The offense has just not been what it should be. But when they had everyone healthy for that small stretch of time, like, you could see Clay really looking like Clay Thompson again. So, I do feel like they're dangerous. A lot of it is predicated on health. And then really after that, the West is so loaded that just matchups too obviously play a factor.
I'm seeing right now that Shams is reporting that Jimmy Butler is being suspended by the Heat once again for two games after he missed the team flight on Wednesday. You had the Suns just make a move to get some draft picks. How does this all end? Does this end with Jimmy Butler in Phoenix? How does Pat Riley make this work?
Well, I think that Phoenix already made the first move. Remember, they had that 2031 pick, to your point, where they turned one pick that was incredibly valuable because it's 6 years from now, and everyone knows that Kevin Durant will be retired and Devin Booker will be 6 years older, and the expectation is Phoenix is going to be bad. And Danny Ainge said, I'll give you that. I'll take that. I'll give you three for one. How about that? So basically, they needed those assets to be able to move off the Bradley Beal contract because it's, well, I think Bradley's still a very good player and a functional player when he gets the opportunity. People want to save up for 2026 free agency. I think we're heading back to an NBA where free agency matters again. And if you look at that 2026 class, there's a lot of names that are outright free agents. There's a number of guys. Not that I'm saying this guy will opt out, but Luka's got a player option. At the very least, he's going to opt out to get more money. So I think that that year is a year that teams are trying to save up for, because there's going to be a number of guys out there. It's not going to be 2010 or 2016 free agency with, like, LeBron and Durant in those specific years. But I think we're heading back there because teams are just tired, guys. They are tired. And I think the league is tired of guys asking out with 3 and 4 years left on their deal. Like, it's gotten ridiculous. So I think Phoenix kind of made the first foray into acquiring Jimmy Butler, which is using at least one of those picks, if not two, to offload Bradley Beal somewhere and then giving one of those picks to Miami and then getting two or three other teams involved and getting the pieces that Miami needs to get a Butler deal done. So if I had to guess, I think we're closer to it. Whereas a week ago, I would have told you, I think Jimmy Butler is going to be in Miami, and I think they're just going to figure this thing out in the summer when more teams can get in the fray.
ESPN's George Sedano with us. Are there any interesting or relevant Mavs trade rumors, either them getting a player, or could they trade Klay Thompson if it's not working out well? Would there be demand for him?
Yeah, I think there would be some demand. I don't see that just yet. Give me a couple of weeks, because I'm going to be here twice in the next couple of weeks, and I could get a feel for what that will look like. I don't know if they would trade him this season. I think that this deadline, rather. I think that in the off season, I think all bets are off, right? Like, I think that teams always look to maneuver. But I would have to kind of do a little digging on that to get a real feel for it. But I would be surprised, is what I would say. But I do think the Mavs clearly are now going to be in business for another big man, right? With Derek Lively out. Like, I think that all of a sudden becomes a priority. And, I think you can get a big man for relatively cheap, right? You can get, I think, a quality big man for a couple second round picks. So I don't know the draft capital that they have off the top of my head, but I would imagine they have enough second round picks to potentially get someone that could at least help spell Daniel Gafford, at least for the next couple of months until Lively comes back.
How much of a feel do you get that maybe the Mavs are becoming more of a destination than we're used to? I mean, it's always been a joke that, the Mavs talk about free agency and then everybody turns them down. Could they be a player in 26?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as Luka's here, I think you're going to be a player. Like, I think guys want to be here. I mean, look at Kyrie. I think it's one of the most underrated deals we've had in the last couple of years is getting Kyrie here, because – And I know he mentioned about the celebration of his anniversary here the other day, where he's like, we won that trade. So, yeah, I do think there are guys that are going to want to play with Luka, much like guys wanted to play with LeBron in his prime. Because Luka, while not the athletic phenom that LeBron was, the rest of the game is fairly similar. Like, he wants to get other guys involved. Jason Kidd has done a fantastic job over the last year or so of getting his usage down and making sure that other guys do some of the heavy lifting for him. And I think Kyrie's the perfect example of that, right? So I do think it's become more of a destination than it was previously. And look, I do think that guys wanted to play with Dirk, but I think the guys they got, if you look at it, you know, older guys or whatnot, I think there's a better chance now of getting guys potentially in their prime, like you guys did with Kyrie, that are willing to say, hey, yeah, I'll take a deal to Dallas.
Well, thanks for your insights and your wisdom, George. If you need anything while you're in Dallas, just say the word. We got you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Salute. George Sedano, ESPN, here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Wolchuk, top 10 coming up next. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's do it. I was driving home from Denton and went by a Buc-ee's. You know what I had to do? Get a brisket sando and use the restroom. Top 10 best public restrooms. What's your top place to pull over to take a one or a two-ski? That's next.